Welcome to the Timitude Podcast, where we have stimulating and all-inspired conversations with thinkers, dreamers, makers, movers, and trailblazers. In the second installment, we continue our conversation with Raymond Mutura, Director of Organizations, Work and Family at Strathmore Business School, as he discusses family and the idea of family businesses. Raymond also shares an outline of some of the programs and research on family and organizations at the research center he heads at Strathmore. Among his many roles and areas of involvement on the family domain, Raymond is also president, Program for Family Development and Voice of the Family Development International, and vice president for International Federation for Family Development in English-speaking Africa. Well, let me not belabor with the introduction and let you listen in to the many insights Ray shares in the second part of our conversation. If you missed out the first part of our conversation, check out part one. For now, we carry on from where we left.
So let's talk about your endeavor, especially on the family side, the organization you set up, its core purpose and mission, and some of the things that you guys are really addressing and dealing with, because I think that's a big chunk of your work, body of work. I mean, beyond the, I think we've talked quite a bit on the professional side and your technology background and that kind of space. So just tell us about the organization you founded and what you guys are focusing on, and what's your core purpose and mission? What impact are you seeking to achieve?
Yeah, our organization is Program for Family Development. It's actually a project within the business school. And the vision is to you could say, invite families to appreciate the beauty of family life. We normally call this just family enrichment, yeah? Is to be able to see the beauty of the need to really master the whole beauty of, you know, why family life is essential, yeah? And we do this through two things. One is the family enrichment programs, and they target on one hand the couple, and then on the other hand, we target the parents, okay, based on the different ages of children, yeah? So for a long time, this is what we have been doing since 2006, trying to ensure that the couples can, advance in being more united, so strengthening marital unity, and then the parents having the skills necessary to, bring out their children based on their different milestones. So, and the different milestones is that there are different stages of growth for the children, yeah? So that is what we have been doing for the longest time, since 2006. And then now we've also incorporated, or we've discovered that there is another area that has a gap, which is education in, educating in character formation, yeah? Education in character formation, that parents need a skill, and also the children need an avenue through which they can be able to pick up aspects of character formation, or eventually what we have summarized when I started on good habits. So you need to be able to have a formula that can help you be able to get good habits across. So on one hand, you train the parents so that they can see, and on the other hand, you can actually have a program that kids can utilize to be able to capture some of these good habits over their period of growth. So that is what we do.
What is that? Is this sessions, they come to class and then they have assignments? How does it work? Like, how do you unpack?
So this is a program that is actually worldwide. So we have, there is an overall think tank, is what we call the International Federation for Family Development. And this is a almost 40 plus organization. So, and the family enrichment concept follows the use of case studies. Yeah, they okay. say it's to teach adults, not really to teach because you're not teaching them. What you need to do with adults, just like what the business schools do, and that's with the Strathmore Business School, that's what we do, is that you need to be able to give them scenarios or cases through which they can discover by themselves solutions for themselves. So we have courses that are based on case studies. And so in a typical course like Married Love, which is a course for couples, you'll go through a series of six cases over a period of 6 or so months. And then we have a formula. In doing case studies, you normally have a formula where it's important you read the case on your own. Then after reading the case on your own, you read the case together as a couple to try and discover different, you know, the different viewpoints. Because the first viewpoint is this thing we were talking about yourself.
Yeah.
You need to be able to self-critique yourself and appreciate where are your gaps and also what are your perceptions about a particular topic. And then your spouse does the same. Then eventually you come together as a couple and do it jointly now. You form the family and you can be able to see the viewpoints. And then we don't stop there. This is just a method of case study. It's used all over the business schools. You then have what we break you into small teams so that then you can be able to see again the same view. Or even listen to other people's views. And this helps you to self-reflect, self-critique as an individual and even as a couple. Then we have what we call a general session. And the general session is where now we bring together a moderator, not a teacher, a moderator who is going to be able to help the audience of different teams of couples to be able to see the principles. Yeah, again, we go back to the principles. The principle that we need to hold based on just a discussion, yeah? Because people know, people have answers to how they are supposed to be. Yeah, when you talk about DNA, or when you say, you know, there are certain principles, it's because there is a way human beings are supposed to eventually, you could say, live. And this is what we need to bring out to people, yeah? So the moderator helps in concluding and generating the critical principles that the couple needs to take home. Yeah. So for Married Love, we have those six cases. And then for each course on parenting, and there are both four courses of this. We have one on first steps for parents with children who are still 0 to 3 years, like that. 4 to 7, we have another course. At age of reason, we have another course called First Decision. And then at adolescent stage, we have another course called Adolescence, just to be able to pick certain ideas on what you can do. And then at a teenager level, we have another course. So we have 5 parenting courses that parents can go through over the, you know, the time, the lifeline of their kids. So again, the same idea, yeah?
Okay.
To be able to, you could say, bring out the principles under which you need to be able to raise your children.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. So I think I have probably 2 or 3 questions around this. So the first is around the material and contextualization. I don't know whether all families are the same across the world, and these are things which are abstracted, or is this material contextualized to issues within, like now, you're Strathmore Business School, you know, serves the Kenya and the greater East Africa. And I would imagine, I don't know whether we could almost talk about Africa generally, but, you know, context, the issue of context. And then secondly is around, you know, married love or marriage, you know, has a lot of work in there. So is it open to all kind of couples, and also in terms of issues that they're dealing with, you know, is this just you come and then study this thing, and then, you know, even if you are fighting at home, somehow good luck with that? Or is it encompassing to be able to help people where they are in the issues that they are dealing with as well? I don't know. how you've packaged it.
I mean, first of all, just going back to, look, is this for all marriages? Yes. I mean, there are certain ways marriages are meant to operate. Yeah? And if I could just quickly summarize the topics that you will go through in marriage now. First of all, it's just to be able to understand what is the principle behind being together. The anthropological principle behind being together, which is normally the first topic. And then after that, you go into just the concept of intimacy is universal, I imagine. universal concept. And concept of communication is universal.
Yeah.
Concept of family life is universal. Concept of finances and money is universal. These concepts are universal, that they will actually happen to any marriage. If you go back to the different ages of the kids, you will find the concepts are universal. There may be a new essence here of, you know, saying no, but you see, here instead of having, in Europe, probably they will say instead of having house help, we do the work ourselves. And then in Africa, you may be able to have the concept of domestic help. Or sometimes what they do in Europe is that you may have grandparents involved in the business of the children. But if you look generally, what has happened in the world is that we say we have become a global village. We seem to almost be in the same world today. The same challenges are beginning to appear to be the same challenges from this to the other and to the other. On the topic of finances and family life, we have a topic on in-laws, yes.
Yeah, because I think families are, I think there's a knittingness together, which is wonderful, it's a beautiful thing, but it can be a challenge, especially for this, you know, nuclear unit that tries to form, especially I think in the beginning point. That's actually quite, that's exciting to know. I mean,
And you see, case studies
like that, you guys have a program that is embedded. I don't think it's common. I'm not sure what your peers across the region, whether you have universities and institutions of higher learning having programs like this. I don't know. I
think it's very, in fact, if you look around, you will find most of the people who are doing this are sister schools related to Strathmore. So we have a similar institution in Nigeria, and then we have another similar institution in Spain. So you will find a lot of.
I think it's Lagos Business School.
Yeah, Lagos Business School. Yes. Yeah. University of Pan African Universities, as they call it.
Yeah.
So you you will find that our approach is around principles. Yeah. If you look at anyone else doing family life or family education, you find that sometimes the approach is biblical, sometimes motivational, psychological, but our approach is anthropological. Yeah, we're going back to Aristotle. Aristotle argues that if you study man, he has a certain logic. So our principles are actually anthropological. They're actually following the Aristotelian Thomistic tradition. Of understanding man. The other people may have, many people use a biblical approach. Many people use a biblical approach. We try to be as inclusive as possible. So we are trying to use more the reasoned approach as opposed, let us build our reason towards why we should get married or why we should raise children in a particular way, as opposed to the biblical approach, which is God said.
What's the relationship, if there is any point of correlation? Because I get the element of inclusivity, and also I'm curious also on the research component. Maybe that's something you'll comment on. I don't know the commonalities in terms of correlation between these different approaches, as well as your research, your body of research, and so on, how that works. I don't know.
From a research point, one of the things we do, and we are trying to eventually get there and keep doing it, is that after every session, what we are interested in is to be able to assess a number of things. One of the things to assess is whether the moderator is assisting us to be able to discover our problems, because the key thing, if you were to look at the logic of our course, is to be able to discover what is the problem of the case, because you normally have a case and you're trying to help to understand what is the problem of this case. What are the positives, because not every case that is provided is completely negative. So what are the positives of a family? And one of the skills we try to inculcate in people is to always try and see how we can always look at the positive in any situation. Because in marriage and family life, you can actually end up living negativity for the rest of your life. But it's to still be able to discover what are the positive aspects. And then what is most critical is to discover the problems and the solutions, and eventually a clear tying up of the way forward or the new contemporary trends around that particular topic. So we normally do an evaluation of each case to try and discover that. And then we try to also discover whether they are getting, because we've broken them into teams, we've tried to make sure that they go through the case on their own. We've tried to make sure that eventually they participate in a general session. So we are trying to discover, is this system working for you, especially in applying the solutions to you as a family? And ultimately, we normally ask them, what were the critical lessons learned and suggestions for improvement? So over the time, we've been able to collect this data. And what we are trying to do is to ask ourselves, what is the most interesting topic? And out of the suggestion, what are other things that people are beginning to say need to be addressed? And this is beginning to help us see where the challenges are. So, for example, just a summary of the data, it's not yet published, is to discover that many people, from a marital point of view, think that the biggest challenge is communication. Now,
interesting.
If you unpack communication, and anytime I have taught a communication theme, you normally have two potential issues. One is communication, meaning the content of what we need to discuss is not clear. But the real issue of communication that people normally talk about, which they don't really get the words to talk about, is that we are actually different and we see things in a different perspective. So whenever you reach any couple, they normally tell you, no, the problem is communication. So, and for me, when I'm moderating, I never let go of telling them, no.
This is the red herring.
What is the, in fact, I have another guy I follow called Dr. Emerson Eggerich, so he's doing, he's come up with the two principles, love and respect.
Yeah.
And if you listen to him, one of the things he says is that whenever you have a couple in conflict, and this is just his theory is based on this, whenever you have a couple in conflict, okay, there is always an issue. What is the issue when the issue is not the issue? What is the issue behind the issue? And behind that, you will discover it is the whole business that we have a totally different mindset of how we look at things.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know why we have not managed this. For some reason, we have not been able to clearly appreciate that we are different, that men and women are different, and that we look at things very differently. And if we journey through different topics and we were able to help couples to see that actually the reason you have a fight is because of your view. And it goes back to also the background, because I saw my father did it this way, and my mother, never worried or never cared. Now we have a modern woman. In fact, the new principle, last week we were talking to young people and asking, why is it that we're having difficulty in getting married? And some of them raised the issue that, look, you see, it seems or it appears as if the woman has become modern and the man has remained traditional. Yeah?
That's a good one.
And when people walk around, so normally another thing you hear about my communication is expectation. I was not expecting this. I was, you know, I was not expecting that this is the way she would take the role, or this, you know, there are all these gray areas around our differences. So how do we tie it with the research? It's back to looking at that and then trying to see whether we can improve, add on our cases, add on our courses if we have to, and then be able to. This is now where we will, where I'll eventually go with the center that I run, which is the Center for Research on Organization, Work and Family, is to be able to really bring out what are the things from an organizational point of view. We started talking about some of it. So from a corporate point of, from a vision, mission point of view, you would find profit-based organizations which are focused on targets. Then there is a reality of the workforce. The workforce has a family behind it. There is a new challenge around just being able to raise a family appropriately. There is a challenge of ensuring that the future workforce should be able to have good people who can work, which should, which, you know, should have come from the very family. So if you're not foreseeing as a future, as an organization, that time, for example, for the employees need a balance, and a clear integration between work and family. So you'll be hurting your future workforce, and you'll also be hurting your future consumers. So it is to be able to bring out this reality so that when we now go to the corporate, we may need to be able to say, look, policies then have to be able to look at the holistic thing that, yes, it's true. You have workers, but the workers are also family people. And they are family people for the sake of the future workforce and for the sake of the future consumer. So if we don't get the right, if we don't, in our Constitution, Article 45, we always say the family is a fundamental unit of development and a basis for social order. Yeah, and therefore it needs to be strengthened. It's really actually an article coming out of Article 16 of the UN International Declaration of Human Rights. Yeah, the Article 16.3. Yeah, this concept of the family is a fundamental unit of society and a basis of social order. So if you don't foresee in future that you need to be able to raise the order in future, meaning from good employees and from good consumers, and you don't care. Yeah, when we say that you can be able to assess the company with other things other than profitability, this is one of the things. Okay, these days they talk about corporate social responsibility.
KPI.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it would be an important, and one of the dreams we have is that at least one, for at one point in the future, we can be able to say these are the companies that have a good policy that eventually foresees the future order, the future social order. They are giving enough motivation to the parents to be able to raise their kids, and we know that this will have an impact in the future. So the research for the center is supposed to look at all that. Yeah, so come go to the organization, go to policies. We at the moment in Kenya, we've worked on a draft national policy of family promotion and protection, which is saying that you need to intervene in 10 thematic areas around family life. So marriage, parenting, family health, family education, media and technology. You know, so and so many other of those 10 thematic areas, so that you fulfill this vision that we have, that out of the family, we get social order, we get a good future worker, we get a future, good future consumer, and so on. I don't know, I'm going round and try to summarize everything you're asking.
I really like it because you're able to tie it together, because, and I think that's really where the value is, to say that it's not a silo thing, because sometimes when you talk about family, we almost leave family there and pack it, and then it's like, no, this is now business. So this we talk about business. But family left it there. Yet actually it's a very integrated ecosystem. It's a very integral part, but also very integrated. So I don't know, from your own troubleshooting, do you reckon that a lot of what has happened up to now has been probably the propagation sometimes of very wrong, you know, perspectives about how we should engage in such, you know, relationship and family and so on, and how we have built our society? I don't know what your thoughts are from, because I think what you've shared is really, really insightful.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way Aristotle used to look at it, is he used to say, look, first you start with an individual who is virtuous, then you go into the family, and the family then needs to have certain principles around what people will eventually call all these fundamental units of society, social order, etc. And then it moves into a village, and eventually into institutions, and eventually into the nation, yeah? The logic is meant to be like that, but if you look at the general logic at the moment around, you could say, success or happiness is materialism, is being rich. And then now if you go back to some of us, how we were raised, and this is one of the conversations I normally have with parents, is that when you really look at yourself, And I normally tell them, let's go to the time you're about to leave home at 18 years old or at high school. And you're about to leave home and you have a bit of a reflection about where you have come from, what kind of a family you have lived. And you just provoke them and ask them, what was the vision you had around what you want to do in the future? If you extended a bit of your future into probably your future family. And you will discover, I don't know whether it's only me, maybe it's only me, but you will discover because of sometimes having lived with lack of this and lack of the other and lack of whatever. Normally and we have seen a lot of TV ads and general trends demonstrating that happiness seems to have become having things. So suddenly you kind of come out with a conclusion that I will have a lot of things so that my family will never be the way I was. One of the phrases people use when I have ever taught in a class is that, you know, there are people who say they don't do poverty. They don't do poverty. And when you really think about it, you realize that there is something wrong around what success is. And those who are in Africa and who have probably have difficult backgrounds, sometimes we are so, and then our politicians don't help because they grab a lot of things and then they appear to be doing well, as we call it, with a big car, with lots of money, with big property, with lots of property, etc. So I think this material conversation is one of our biggest enemies. Yeah, because of that, sometimes people pursue things even without considering the family. It doesn't matter about the family. What will you do with the family? I will delegate. I will get someone. I will get another car for them to be dropped from school. It doesn't matter whether I will work in this regional job and I am not at home. It doesn't matter whether travel will come in and it will affect.
Yeah.
So eventually we seem to be relegating the circumstances around our family and our need for being there to direct our children.
Yeah,
based on just the fact that the job has consumed me, I am looking for money, I need money, etc. So I think that is one just general challenge. Yeah, that is affecting.
No, I think there's quite a lot to really talk about this, but I'm very happy that at least there's a foundation that has been laid and. You're really, I'm excited about what you've shared and what you guys are trying to embed and get going. So maybe just as we kind of wrap up, What's your wild vision? You know, what is it that you want to see in society or in the world, you know, with programs like this? Say this explodes and just goes wild and goes viral and it's everywhere. You know, what did you wish to see? You know, what kind of society? What's your vision? What's your, you know, life? I don't know.
Yeah.
That
yes, ends yeah. Yeah. One of the other tasks I'm now going to perform, and it's going to be a bit of what I will undertake in my PhD studies, is this concept of family enterprises or family businesses.
Yeah? Mm, I like that.
Yeah. If you look at the, in fact, this morning I was talking to some, we were looking at our data analysis of this period I was talking about, the data we are looking at, 2013 to 2019. And I was in a call with two programmers or two coders who need to do something for me on that. And I asked them, so are you employed? They said, no. When did you finish? We finished this year. We were meant to graduate. And then I asked, but what's happening? You've not looked for jobs. Because one of them told me he's a co-founder of two startups. Yeah, nowadays, mm-hmm. when you talk to anyone, they're always a founder and a co-founder. Yeah? Something.
It's like, sounds cool on your LinkedIn profile.
Yes. But they kind of made a comment there that there are no jobs. And I know we, together with my wife, we've started this conversation. And we've actually been looking at our four kids and asking. Because it's, where, what will you do? What work will you do? Yeah.
Mm.
You discover that it's shrinking. It's really shrinking. Things are really shrinking. And unless we create another system,
yeah.
I was watching a documentary of China sometime, what made China great. And there's a guy who comes in the 70s who eventually goes into SMEs, small, medium enterprises, and says that that is where we need to focus our attention. We kind of have it in our country. We have the whole, well, in Kenya, I don't know about other countries in Africa, but in Kenya particularly, you have this concept of side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I think from, sometimes people do it because of the risks of security of the future or whatever it is. But I've always wondered whether we can actually make the side hustle the thing, okay?
The main hustle.
And make it a big hustle that is a family business. So yeah. That we stop relying on all these big corporate the other, or imagine that the government will do and the government will not do. If we can go back to creating initiatives and solutions that are not, again, the other challenge with the side hustles, if you've seen them over the years, especially the ones of those early years, is that sometimes the children are not connected to them at all. And I'm not saying it's not going to be an easy conversation making children be able to, you could say, work in the businesses of their families or their parents. But I think that is where we need to go. We need to work into family businesses. And that will be my other part of study, part of, it's already one of the areas I'm cost managing this concept of family businesses.
It sounds traditional in a way, if you think of it. Remember, you had the Smiths and whoever.
Yes,
so the
yes.
Smiths, you know, there was the, you know, it's actually quite interesting that it comes back to that. It might look new, but yet it's something that has been practiced ages ago. It's almost some wisdom from another time that we need to bring to our
contemporary. if you also look at what is running the world, the big businesses running the world, you will discover they're actually family businesses, or they started as family businesses. So there is a little bit of almost coming back, and one of the catalysts for this is of course technology. With technology, it what is happening when I was living the software world, we began actually when we were studying, we used to be told that you need to outsource, okay? You need to outsource to people. You need to outsource this, outsource this, any core function outsource, okay? And I know one of the things that people had outsourced, especially in the financial world, financial technology world, the financial world that we had gotten into, is software development. So they outsourced to us software development. We build systems for them. So yes, it's true from a core systems for that run banks and financial institutions. you could say that that has been outsourced to people. But today, eventually, when we had had many jobs that we used to do, we found now banks and financial institutions going back to start what they were calling digital departments, okay?
Yeah.
Because we have certain concepts that can run and we need to build them very quickly. Yeah, there is all this thing of what they say, agility, okay?
Coming agile and all that, yeah.
Agile concepts and agile projects and agile project management. So
yeah.
Within the world of just the same technology world I was in, where we were told one day in the beginning it was outsourced, then it was outsourced for a long time. Then at some point we were also almost becoming irrelevant as an IT company, and jobs that used to, you could say, give us a day-to-day shilling is here to run our cash flows, were now being done by the very institutions themselves. And then sometimes they find that, no, why should I do, this thing looks very simple, why should I give it to a big company? Let me give it to these startups.
Yeah.
So you see the startups are beginning to be, you could say, I mean, and these two students told me about a startup. Yesterday, I think I was in another webinar, somebody talked about a startup. So it looks like we have to go back to almost, we keep joking with my wife, we have to go back to the butter thread system. what you're calling the Smiths and the Johns and the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go. Maybe it will be a bit more sophisticated. It will be different families or combination of families or friends.
Yeah.
But I think that is where I would like to see how we can bring the thread of saying that out of a family, we can actually create entrepreneurs. And that those entrepreneurs can work together to be able to take, you know, one unique idea and eventually grow it into something that can help them in their own family and also help their own society. If you look at our country, is now divided into 47 counties. And I've always asked myself, out of the 47, if we really want to eventually create wealth and opportunities for ourselves as a country, maybe the whole vision of having broken ourselves into 47 independent countries, you could say, almost, or states, is very noble, because then it may help us explore all the gifts that that county have to a level that we can eventually discover either a very good service or a very good product that is unique to our county, of Bomet or county or whatever. But all this may come out of probably people going back, and again, these days you hear a lot about agribusiness. Okay, everyone is in either agribusiness or in a startup. this is a new language. Startups are normally IT startups, and then the other lot says, even me, I'm in agribusiness. So maybe this is where we need to go, and this COVID thing also has challenged the idea of globalization. And we always had these global companies that say we've expanded to Africa, we will go to China because the costs are cheaper there. But then I think after the pandemic, people have started rethinking that you can't always be completely global. You may need to have independent, you have to still serve your own immediate market.
You must have local people. Like now, some of those essential services, you can't really, like life-saving equipment and so on, you can't really wait for a ship from China or something.
Yes.
You know, when your people are dying, for example. You know, that's true.
So maybe there is, I have a vision of thinking, maybe ultimately, my world, the reason I went into digital is to appreciate the world of technology.
Yeah.
Because running any entrepreneurship in future, of course, will not be without technology.
Yeah.
And then now the reason for appreciating and understanding the family to its core is to be able to see its impact. What is the impact of the family in development? And maybe if we were able to, you know, grow good families, a lot of harmony, grow good habits in the family. So even if it would be necessarily a family business of this family, starting with me as father and mother, maybe the skill I will have inculcated in that child will eventually make them be able to set up an enterprise that they can have as a family business. A bit of that is the vision I have. Let's see whether that's what will happen.
So is there, out of curiosity, like how do you refuel, how do you recreate, you know, like things for fun, or how do you?
Yeah.
The serious Aristotelian Thomistic.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of walks. Yeah. At least okay. these days of pandemic, I do a lot of walks. So within here, Nairobi, and Upper Hill, I don't know whether you know Upper Hill.
Upper Hill.
Very far from Upper Hill. So what I do is I do a walk, but with a friend. I try to invite a friend so that we have a chat over something. Yeah. So whatever, actually. Yeah. It's a way of getting to know my friends. So I line up my friends and I tell them, why don't we do a walk? So I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Monday is just a local walk. My longest walk is a Saturday walk, which at the moment I think I'm doing about 15 kilometers.
So
it's just
so you're getting points.
Yes. Yeah. I want to eventually go there and make sure I have not really been a master in you know, tracking and whatnot. But it called Strava? There is an application called
Strava. Yeah, there's the whole, you know, that gives you plots, which terrain, whatever. It gets to be crazy, and then you can compete with other people. Okay.
So that is the main thing. My newest discovery, actually, the recent discovery out of just this COVID period is also to just watch documentaries that may be able to help me understand, you know, how things have come to be. Yeah, I was very fascinated by the story of China the other day. I was also fascinated by the other story of the missing plane. You remember that plane that missed?
MH370
or something like that.
Whatever, yeah.
I mean, I really liked the discussions by different pilots saying, look, it can't have been, this could not have been. It's beginning to make me question many things. Of course, cooking. I cook on Sundays.
To cook on What's Sundays. Your specialty?
So far, I'm very good at pilau. But what we have done with a friend of mine is we are trying to see if we can make sophisticated meals on Sundays. So that it is not as, that one is a very simple one. Pilau is, of course, very simple. So we've done in the past, we've done some bread. We are beginning to make local bread, which is quite a process. Then the other day I made some mokimo. So some of them people may not know what it is if they're listening out of Kenya, but it's just a mash of maize, beans, and potatoes and some leaves. And just having different combination of meats. So we have different meats. We've done different combinations of pork meals and so on, and just to create some hours over something. So my typical Sunday, I start with making breakfast with pancakes. And sometimes I decide to make, instead of having sausages, I do my own pork. So I buy some pork and make a nice stew of pork that people can enjoy. And then after that, we have some long breakfast. And then after that, I go into a main meal. And I cook until about 3. And then we have that as a meal. As what do they call it? The brunch is breakfast and lunch. The one that is lunch and supper is called what?
I don't know the word for it.
That one.
Brunch is popular, yeah.
we have a lunch and supper, or lunch and dinner. La dinner or lusup. We'll look for the name.
Wow. It's such a... So, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot we could talk about. And look, I'm happy that at least we've had this initial conversation. So, and I would love to have a follow-up at some point just to check in, you know, on maybe a little bit more granularly on the programs that you're doing and very specific topics and so on. But I think it's really, really exciting what you're doing. And the impact that you're going to have through, it's a long game if you think of it, you know. Making an investment in family is not just an immediate thing that you harvest, but I think it's worth it really.
And
really exciting to just connect with you again as well after so many years.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for our conversation. I've enjoyed. You've provoked me to say so many things.
That's the whole idea.
I would like to ask two favors of you as a listener of the Timitude podcast. One is to share this with someone who you know would benefit from, as we seek to bring out the best inspirational content featuring thinkers, dreamers, makers, movers, and trailblazers. The second request is for you to kindly leave us a rating in whichever platform you're listening to. We are available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and also recently on YouTube. Also, don't forget to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. We can connect on @Timitude on Twitter and Timitude on YouTube and on timitude.com. Once again, thank you for being part of the Timitude community.